All right, so we're going to take the, we're going to move now to the the sugya of muktzah. Yeah, muktzah is very complex. A lot of inyanim in muktzah. We'll have to see how deep we're going to get into it. I told you the Meiri says there are people who have tried to count have gotten around 50 different kinds of muktzah. He doesn't say who it was who was counting. It's funny. But anyhow, so we're just going to try to start slow here. But I mean, the sugyas that I sent you out, I mean, those are the main inyanim that keep coming up. All right, so let's start with the... I think this is the place to start. I've had some people arguing with me. I think this is the right place to start. Chaim, you would have started in Sukkah?
No.
No, of course not. You have to come here. This is the main case. All right, let's take...
Huh? Are we done with Noah?
How we hold... I mean, what's confusing Lamaisa in Muktzah is, first of all, getting all the shittas straight, and then how we hold. Because we jumped ahead, but I'm sure you saw the Gemara on the next daf in Beitza that says that, according to the Rav Nachman holds, that we hold like Rabbi Yehuda by Yom Tov and Rabbi Shimon by Shabbos. But there's a big Balamor and Ramban on what that means exactly. In which cases we hold like... there are exceptions scattered around Shas. And what do we mean exactly we hold like Rabbi Yehuda and... we hold like Rabbi Shimon on Shabbos. You look on Shabbos, there's a lot of cases of the Muktzah. So... I mean, you should know that what we normally call muktzah, like the kli shemalachto l'iser and all of those cases, some rishonim hold that's not really muktzah at all. That has nothing to do with muktzah. That's separate gzeira that you shouldn't do, not to do malacha, or to do hotza. So that itself is not so clear. So we're going to try to stick, we're not really going to deal here with those types of cases of kalim. Because that's not the real strict muktzah, even according to, even if you can say it's a type of muktzah, it's not the real strict muktzah that we're dealing with, right? Because the muktzah we're dealing with is totally, completely muktzah. It can't be metaltal at all, right? Those cases are a little different, because you can be metaltal for gufo and makomo. So we have to, maybe I'm not sure if we're gonna get to that or not, but the real primary muktzah, when you're dealing with muktzah, essentially you're dealing with things that you cannot move at all. Okay, and kli shemalachta l'iser doesn't fall clearly into that category. That's why I said, like the Ravid in the beginning of Beitza, the Ravid says that that's not muktzah at all. Sever gzera. Don't use a thing that you use for malacha, because you'll come to do malacha. Right?
Is there any...
The way we're going over here, right, and according to the way we're learning from Rashi and the Tosfos and Beitza, Nolad is just a case that it's going to be a forced muktzah. Right? As everybody is going to agree, everybody's going to agree with the basic concept that you need things to be considered muchan on Shabbos, right? And then you have questions about how you arrive at being muchan, or what prevents it from being muchan. But everybody agrees. But that's questions about things that are in existence. Right, things that are in existence. Do we say that they're muchan? Do we say that we're maximidaite? Those are the questions of that we're going to deal with essentially. But nolad is like a separate problem. Nolad is a problem that, I mean, it's nolad is a different issue. It's that since it wasn't in existence, it's not capable of being muchan. Right, it's not capable of being muchan. In other words, take a chicken. So Rabbi Yehuda would say, if it's omedes legadol beitzim, so it's not defined as an ochel, right? So it's not muchan. because you classified it in your mind as something that's not shaykh to Yom Tov, right? Because legado beitzim, and Rabbi Shimon would say no, as long as when Yanta started, you always knew you could use it, so it's a muchan still, right? We're not defining it, just describing it. But if it was something that didn't exist at all, then Rashi and Tosu say that even Rabbi Shimon agrees, right? That what? That it's going to be muktzah.
And then there's questions about it.
And then there are just questions about what do you mean that did it exist? What do you mean did it exist? Is the beitzah considered to exist because it exists in potential as the outgrowth of the as a product of the of what you have in front of you, as a product of the chicken? But that's the question of Rav Nachman and Beitzah. But even Rav Nachman will be Moda, according to the Marshal, it seems that way from the Tosfos Erevin, even Rav Nachman will be Moda that Rabbi Shimon would hold the ashes, for instance, from a fire are not Mukhan, because they didn't exist at all. They didn't exist at all. Right? So you couldn't say that there was that he had any das on them in any capacity, in any framework that would make them muchan for Yom Tov, because they didn't exist kol ikar. You had a precursor to them, but that doesn't mean you could have das on them. That doesn't mean the precursor to them is not the same thing as them. You could say the cause contains the effect, but not just stam a precursor to the thing, not just a precondition to something. Wood is the precondition to ashes. It's not a cause or it's not a cause of the thing. Okay, so what's difficult is if everybody's agreeing on the basics, where are all the machloks? Everyone's agreeing that things have to be muchan for Shabbos or Yantif in order to be mutter. So it becomes like it's just all the machloks now seem like it's going to come down to degrees. Right, to quantitative analysis. How muchan is muchan? You know what I mean? As opposed to saying that they're arguing on an underlying concept of is there muktzah or is there not muktzah. Because the Gemara throws around the term, Rabbi Shimon doesn't know from muktzah, but it's very, it's really equivocally speaking. It means in comparison to the cases that we're discussing, he doesn't know from this. But he definitely has in Yonim of muktzah. I mean, we'll see. Like that was in the first Tosfos over there, and then the Tosfos in Beitza. We didn't do it in Shir, but he mentions that Rabbi Shimon definitely holds. Means even when the Gemara says maybe Beis Shammai does not hold from Muktzah, right? Tosfos says it doesn't really mean all Muktzah, because Beis Shammai agrees that you can't Balei Chaim are going to be Muktzah, like pigeons. That's the case of the pigeons later on in Beitza. That they were very, very hard to raise pigeons. So a person doesn't want to use them. He's makta them midaite. So everybody agrees, and Rabbi Shimon holds. Everybody agrees, like the Bechor, the case of the Bechor. Everybody agrees that even on Memdal, later on, the big cup of oil. So everybody agrees there are cases where, even according to Rabbi Shimon, you're going to have. You can have something that's usher and tiltal for the entire Shabbos. So what does it mean that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold from muktzah anymore? I mean, that's part of what we have to try to figure out. Okay? All right, let's see. Let's take it slow. You got to take it slow. You got to just peel back the layers over here.
They talk about it.
Okay. All right, so let's start the Mishnah over here. Let's start the Mishnah. Mem Dalet Amin Aleph from Shabbos. Okay, so just, I'm sure everybody knows already, but just to... Just to humor you, the ner again, ner. What's the term we're going to use for ner? We have to have a ner. I don't want to hear the word candle coming out of anybody's mouth. Lamp.
Yeah. Why is that?
Because it's not a candle.
Oh, the why are you saying lamp?
Oh, you don't want the lamp. I don't know. What do you want to call it? It's the bowl.
It's called
Mendrick. Well, then it's the bowl. Ner Chadash and Ner Yashan. Right?
Can you explain more than just
flask.
How it's working is I always think about stuff just in the car, I was wondering what exactly it looks like.
Yeah, flask is way different.
You have a bowl. A ner chadash is just a pottery, just a bowl of made from pottery. I mean, basically, the stam ner is uscheres. The Gemara has a case later on of a metal ner, and it doesn't become moss. But the stam ner seems is a small clay receptacle, right, that you fill it up with oil, and somehow you float a wick in there. Right? I'm not sure exactly how they did it, but either you float a wick in there or the wick is hanging over the side, whatever it is, I don't know. But so beforehand, when it's new, it's really could be used for anything. Could be a candy dish, whatever you want it to be, right? It's true, it's made in mind to be a candle, to be it's made in mind to be a lamp, right, for a lamp. But that's what the Gemara says at the bottom, that's hazmono. Hazmona lav milsa. You don't say that it's a klisha malafta lisser because you had in mind for it to be that way, right? It was never used. As long as it was never used for that, it's really usable for anything. But once it's used once, then it becomes dirty from the burnt oil, and you really can't use it for any other use. You really can't use it for any other use. Yeah, it's disgusting. You wouldn't use it anymore as a bowl for any other thing because it's disgusting. Okay. Oh, but you could always use it to cover something. Now you could still use it as. Right. Okay. So anyway, those are the facts of here. So go ahead. Let's take the Mishnah. Metatlan ner chadash.
Metatlan ner chadash. Avalo yashan.
Rashi, Chadash.
Chadash. Metalin Yar Chadash. Sheinu Maus. Chaze Leishtemushe Be Lehedya. Shelo Dalako Ner Maulam.
Yeah, so what does he mean, Lehedya? So it's first of all, Chadash means it's not Maus. So it's useful, it's Roy to use it, Lehedya. What does it mean by lehedja? L'shtamushi be lehedja. Right, in other words, you could use it explicitly. You could use it in its own for its own natural, normal use. Right? You could use it, how did you translate it? It is a strange phrase to use over here. Okay, but you could use it clearly in any way. Okay, because it was never shelo dolak bo ner me'olam. You never lit a.
Does ner mean that there's oil in it already, or is it just the pottery bowl?
It is a funny thing, right? Because he's calling it a ner chadash. So the ner, I guess, means the whole thing, right? I'm calling this a ner chadash because it's meant to be used as a nair. But the bowl itself is not really...
You have the whole thing, right? It's not really...
No, you don't have the whole thing. It's empty. It's an empty bowl.
That's
what I was trying to explain. It's a nair chodesh. Nair chodesh means, like sometimes you call something LP sofo. You know? Okay, anyway. But it was never used yet as a nair. Go ahead. But if it's yashan... Okay. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Go ahead.
Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kolan Neres Metatlin, Futsman and Neres Dolik for Shabbos.
Okay, let's take the first piece of the Gemara. Go ahead. Tana Rabban,
Metatlin Neres Chadash, Aval Lo Yashan, to Rabbi Yehuda.
So that's our Mishnah.
Rabbi Meir Omer, Kolan Neres Metatlin, Futsman and Neres, Shedliku Bov Shabbos.
Oh, so now you have a new position. Rabbi Meir holds. Kol ner is metatlin. Even what? Even yashan. Right? All the neros are movable. Even an old one. Even one that was previously used. Except for what?
Except for
the ner that was what? That was lit on Shabbos. That was lit for Shabbos, right? That was burning on Shabbos. So what's the problem? What's the problem? Rabbi Yehuda is very simple. If it was never used, so it's just basically a bowl. We don't say, since you call it a ner, that it's muktzah. Right? And if it's yashan, so then it's just disgusting. So nobody would use it, so it's muktzah. But Rabbi Meir has an extra element here. He's saying he does not hold from muktzah machmas mias. Right, as Rashi says. He doesn't hold from muktzah machmas mias. So therefore, a used lamp, a used bowl, he could use again. He holds he can use it. It's not muktzah on Shabbos. But you can't use a lamp that was burning when Shabbos started. Why? When it goes out, it's just going to be old. It's just yashan. Why can't I use it? The old is no muktzah machmas mias. So when it goes out, why can't I use it? It's just a mias. So what does he explain? Rashi explains. So even though it already went out, right? Avagav Shekova, it already went out. It's still aser. Why? Oh, so now we have a new category here. It's true. He doesn't know from muktzah machmas mias. So when it's out, it's old, and old is not a problem, but we have a new problem. Muktzah machmas iser. Muktzah machmas iser. So what does that mean? Why is it muktzah machmas iser?
Do you light the candle again?
Because, no.
Oh, no, it was lit.
Because since it was burning when Shabbos started, so now what? Go ahead, Mars. No, but why?
Because you can apply the Isser of Kiboy to it?
Because you couldn't move it because of the Isser Kiboy. Right? You couldn't move it because of the Isser Kiboy, because it might go out. So it was, you were not allowed to move it when Shabbos started because there was an Isser involved. Right? Because there was an Isser involved. As opposed to, for instance, muktzah machmas mias. Is there any reason why you can't move the disgusting kli? Not a single reason. Not a reason in the world. Right? It's just your choice. You don't like those things. Right? But the nair that was burning, halachically you were not allowed to move it when Shabbos started. Correct? So that's now called muktzah machmas iser. But the nair is out, so why can't I move it now? There's no more iser, right? Oh, so that's the thing. That's at the heart of muktzah, that when Shabbos starts at Bein Hashmashos, that's when we define the kli. We have to leave this idea a little bit open right now. But it means to say like this, that when the Shabbos started, since you couldn't move it because of the Isser, now it becomes muktzah for the whole Shabbos, machmas Isser. Because of the Isser that it had, now it's in the state of Isser, would you call that muktzah? No. No, is the inability to move it when it's burning doesn't need the concept of muktzah. It's the concept of iser is the reason why you can't move it when it's burning. Remember we were doing the Gemara by Sukkah? Right? So the Gemara says that there's an iser deraisa to be nana from the Atzei Sukkah. Right? And then the Rishonim say, but the Gemara also says it's muktzah. So if there's an iser, what do you need muktzah for? Right? So you have to analyze this in the same way. You don't need the concept of muktzah while it's burning. That's just stam iser, right? So muktzah comes in where? When it's out already. And now I have to ask myself, since it was usur to move when Shabbos started, does that now create a muktza for the whole Shabbos? That's the question we have to ask. Now, I'm not explaining why that would be or not, but that's the place of the muktza is going to be for the rest of the time. You don't need muktza by Isser itself, right? So Rabbi Meir, now in truth, Rabbi Yehuda also holds from muktza machmas Isser. It's just we don't see it over here because he's got a more basic problem of mias. But Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda both hold from muktza machmas Isser. So therefore, they're going to hold that any nair that was dolek when Shabbos started, and it was usher to move when Shabbos started, then it becomes muktza for the whole Shabbos. Okay, as opposed to who? Rabbi Shimon. Go ahead.
Wait, I don't think I get what you're saying. Okay. With the fact that where the muktza comes from, you're saying before Shabbos it was usher to move just from its own essence.
When Shabbos started, it was usher to move. When Shabbos started, it was usher to move. Right?
Because of its own thing.
Because you might extinguish it if you move it. So I say, are you allowed to move this item on now while it's burning? Are you allowed to move this item? I have to say no. Right? Okay, but now, 3 hours later, it's out. So if I ask you, can I move it now? So there's no more Isser here. So if you would say, yeah, I still can't move it, you'd have to give me a new reason. Can't say because there's an Isser involved. The Isser is gone. So what is the reason why I can't move it when the Isser is gone? Something new. We're just going to have to give it a name and try to fill in its meaning soon. But the name we're going to say is a new category. It's called Muktza Machmas Isser. That if something was immobile because of Isser when Shabbos started, then for the whole Shabbos, it's not movable. Even though the Isser is gone, right?
What if somebody lit something like on Shabbos, like after Banish Moshos, is that the same story?
And no, that's a more complicated story.
Okay.
That's what I thought the Gemara was saying, because it should be before Shabbos, isn't it?
No, it doesn't mean that. It does not mean that.
There's no difference between that and the lake, Shabbos.
Which one are you on?
I'm on Mayor?
Right.
But then Rabbi Shimon says a dolik Shabbos. Isn't that a different thing?
That's different. Correct.
So Rabbi Shimon Omer, who's going to narrow a dolik Shabbos.
Now Rabbi Shimon says chutz min aner hadolik b'Shabbos. So what does that mean? It was, what's the difference between min aner shehidliku bo b'Shabbos and min aner hadolik b'Shabbos? When it's still lit. Rabbi Shimon says it's only usher to move a lamp while it is actually lit. But once it goes out, then you can move it. So what do we see about Rabbi Shimon? He does not hold from what? Mias. First of all, he does not hold from Mias. So he's like Rabbi Meir in that regard. He does not hold from, and he does not hold from a muktza machmas Isser. He says it's true, while it's burning, it's usher to move. But that does not create any permanent change of muktza. So in that sense, we can say, in this inyan, we would say Rabbi Shimon does not hold for muktza. All he holds is, and by that we mean, he does not hold that there's something, a temporary phenomenon that's going to define the kli for the entire Shabbos. While it's burning, it's usher to move, and when it goes out, it's mutter to move. Now, we really don't know why. We really don't understand the machlok at this point. But that's our first observation, right?
Is the problem according to Rabbi Shimon while it's burning that it might accidentally go out? Or
why don't you read Rashi? Go ahead, read Rashi. Chutz min aner hadolek b'Shabbos.
Chutz min aner hadolek b'Shabbos. Ve'ochu dolek aser. Shema yifbeh haner.
So while it's burning, you can't move it because it might go out. Now, the Gemara actually revises that. The Gemara,
Or it would go out like on its own as he's moving it?
No. While he might cause it to go out. It'd be an Isser Kibui.
Like intention?
Well, that's the Gemara, Psik Reisha, or whatever it is. The Gemara goes through and tries to figure out why Rabbi Shimon would worry about that. In the end, the Gemara changes his mind and says, not because of Shem Yichveh, it's a different reason. But there has to be some... some present Isser. That's the only thing that's preventing Rabbi Shimon from moving it, the present Isser. But not a Muktzah.
Is that the same Isser that Rav Meir is saying the Mahmas Isser comes from?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Correct. Okay. All right, so let's take a look. Let's take a look at the Rambam. Is it the Rambam? I mean, we got to go, it definitely pays not to rush into this thing over here. I wouldn't say you can't go too slowly, but it certainly pays to try to get some of these basic, clarify some basic points. So what is there, he says like this, Tam Isser, we skip to the middle part, right? V'tam Isser tiltol ner yashan lefishu ma'os. V'zei yikare mukta machmas mius. Mukta machmas mius. Yeah. That's called a mukta machmas mius. Yeah. That's hard. You have to understand that. V'Rabbi Shimon ain't a choshish lemin mimine ha-mukta. All right, the kapach has a little bit of a different gears here, right? He doesn't say mimin. He doesn't say he's not choshish lemin mimine ha-mukta. What does he say? He's not choshish. Rabbi Shimon doesn't call anything mukta. In the Rambam Pirshvanais. Ulefikach yatir kol aneros. Milavad aneros hadolkos gzera shema yichbe. Right? The only thing he says is usher, there's nothing that he calls mukta. The only thing that you can't do is you can't do something that's just going to potentially cause an issue. Vapsila mutter. Etzlo letaltlo, afal pisha yaser kodem l'chein. So in other words, once it goes out, you can move it, even though it was aser before. Ve'ein alacha kamosa b'ner shedliku bo b'shabbos. We don't hold like Rabbi Shimon regarding the ner that was lit on Shabbos. Yeah.
Why is there a chutzah? It sounds like it's sort of calling out some sort of mitzvah, but it's.
What's your girsa there? You're reading kafa. What's your girsa? Lefikach yatir kol aneros, right? Mi levad. You mean that one? Chutz.
Yeah. All aneros are allowed.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
he doesn't call anything
mukseh,
right?
So they're all allowed. Ulefikach. No, it doesn't say ulefikach. I have a lefikach. What do you have?
Chutz is not going in for the lefikach.
Right. Okay. So he says. V'ein alacha kemoso b'ner shedliku bo b'shabbos. We don't hold like Rabbi Shimon regarding the ner that was lit on Shabbos. Ki ikar etzleinu ki kol masha hukta. Here we go. Bein hashmashos v'einu mutar l'taltla b'oso sha'a she'asur l'taltla b'chol haShabbos. V'hu amram migu diskatzay l'bein hashmashos diskatzay l'kol yoma. So we don't hold like Rabbi Shimon who says you can move the ner after it went out. Why? Because he does not hold from a min mi mi ne mukta. He doesn't call anything mukta. But we subscribe to the view of migu diskatsoi ben hashmash diskatsoi lekol yoma, right? And it's definitely true that it can't be moved during ben hashmashos. That's not a question between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Everybody agrees you can't move ben hashmashos. So Rabbi Shimon agrees you can't move ben hashmashos, but he doesn't hold from this concept of fixing it during ben hashmashos. That it should be permanent. That its shame should be that the definition or the din of the ben hashmashos is kavua for the whole Shabbos. But we do hold that way, right? We do hold that way. So he's showing you a little bit of where the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon is coming, where it starts. It really is a question of the Bein HaShemashos amount. Right? Because then he says like this, Vishar Neros Dinam Kirebi Shimon, Lefisha Meikarenu B'Shabbos Kirebi Shimon, Shu Omer in Muktzah. So the Ram says, we really hold like Rabbi Shimon on Shabbos, that we don't have Muktzah. We really hold like Rabbi Shimon on Shabbos, so we don't have muktza. But what? But this case is muktza. Why? Because we hold nigu diskatsoy. But isn't that the whole question between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? What does it mean we don't hold like Rabbi? We hold like Rabbi Shimon, but we hold nigu diskatsoy. I mean, isn't that the whole? Isn't that like the whole question of muktza? So in other words, there's two questions. You have to say there are two questions by muktza, right? There are two kinds of questions that we have to ask by muktza. It would seem, according to this, there are two questions. One question is there a min muktza, right? In other words, do you call something muktza? The shame of the thing, right? Like mius. Do you say that mius is something that a person considers has a shame of muktza? And then there's another question. You have to ask yourself two questions. One is this thing a type? Is this thing, does this thing have a shame muktza? And then the other question is, so we don't hold that things have the shame muktza. We don't hold from a shame muktza. We hold like Rabbi Shimon that we don't hold from a shame muktza. Still, we have to fill out a lot of these categories. But he's saying, there could be a din, they have a shame muktza, like muktza machmas mius, right? It's not, there's no isser involved in using the object. It's a shame in the cheftza. We say it's mo'os, and therefore it's intrinsically muktza, from the shame. Okay? That we don't hold from, so you can be a metatl kli that was muktza, that was mo'os, right? In that regard, we don't hold like Rabbi Shimon. But he's saying, now you have another question. Bein Hashmashos, the ner was usser. That's not a min, that's not a shame muktza, that's isser. Right? That's not a question of a shame muktza in the cheftza. That was simply isser. So that's another, on that side, we agree with Rabbi Yehuda. That if for some reason there's isser involved during Bein Hashmashos, then it's usser for the whole Shabbos. In other words, there's two ways something can be muktza on Shabbos, he's saying. Either because it has a shame muktza, intrinsically, right? A shame muktza intrinsically. Like, for instance, peros for schora. I guess a little complicated how we pass on all these things, but let's say somebody has food. And he's a wholesaler. He's a retailer. So he's got his all of his apples that he wants to sell in the store. They're all in his garage, but they're apples, right? So Rabbi Yehuda would say, since he designated them for schora, that's muktza. That's a shame muktza on the cheftza, right? Meaning to say what? Meaning to say that you have to go down to the underlying concept of muktza. So what's the underlying concept of muktza here? What do we mean to say that something is a min mimine muktza? What does it mean? What does it mean about the cheftza? What is it saying about the object? What does it mean it's muktza? It's not a smell. What is it? What is muktza? What's the attribute of muktza? This is nothing new. We're just hashing over old stuff. What's muktza?
It's not for using
film. It's makza, right? You pushed it out of your das on Shabbos, right? In other words, you removed it from being mukhan for Shabbos. You were makzit midaite. So there are certain things, even though the apple is just as ready to eat as any other apple, as the apple that's sitting on your table, since you had in mind that it was going to be for sale, Rabbi Yehuda would say, you're makza that midaite, right? So Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold from that category. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold from that. He says as long as it's roi to be used, it's muchan for Shabbos. You understand? That's one question you have to think about. Is there a concept that you can define a cheftza out of Shabbos simply from your das? I say There's no difference between this apple and any other apple, but this one I have in mind, I'm going to sell. So in my mind, when Shabbos starts, it's not part of my groceries, it's part of my business. Mayor, you look upset.
No.
Good?
I'm thinking about this intrinsic shame.
Okay. So intrinsic is a little stronger, is a strong word, but right, I mean, you're giving it a shame. In other words, you have peros l'schora. So in terms, I say to you, in terms of the fruit, it's just as roy for Shabbos as any other fruit in the world. Right? It's just a fruit. But in my mind, these are l'schora. Right? So then you'll say that it's a maktsa that midaite. That's considered muktza. It's considered muktza. Why? Because I designated it away from a Shabbos use. Schora is not a Shabbos use. And I have in mind that these are for my business. So it's tantamount to saying, I'm maktza them midaite l'Shabbos. Because the shame schora in the cheftza is going to now remove it from the category of ochlin on Shabbos and be muktza. That's one concept. That there's a shame muktza. Right, the shame within the thing, just the shame of l'schora, is going to create a haktzah that's against Shabbos. So that we could say is a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi, and we hold like Rabbi Shimon in that regard. We don't hold from a min mimine muksa. We don't hold things can just be defined as out of Shabbos because of the way you treat them. Right. But there's another question. But that doesn't have to do with the question of migu diskatzoi. That's a completely separate question. You understand? Migu diskatzoi means if for some reason something actually was not fit for Shabbos when Shabbos started, does that concretize it for the whole Shabbos? Does that define it for the whole Shabbos as an isser? You understand? It could be that I don't hold from a min mimine muktza. I don't hold that because I say my peros al eschora, they're defined as muktza. But it's simply a fact that when Shabbos started, the ner was usser betiltel. You understand? The isser tiltel when Shabbos started doesn't have to do with a shame muktza. It has to do with, that's intrinsic meir. That has to do with the reality of the thing. And that's a separate question. He says, we could split. We can paskin like Rabbi Shimon and say we don't hold from the shamos of muksa, but we could also hold like Rabbi Yehuda that when Shabbos starts, it has to actually be muchan. And if Bein HaShmashos, it was not muchan because it had an intrinsic isser in it, then it's not muchan for the whole Shabbos. In other words, you can argue with Rabbi Shimon, or you can put it like this. I don't want to necessarily pin ourselves down to one interpretation, but you could look at it like this. There's two separate questions. One question is, can you say something is muchan based on its ability? Right? Or do you say it has to be muchan based on its shame? So in that regard, we hold the Rabbi Shimon. As long as the apple is edible, it's considered muchan when Shabbos starts. Doesn't matter that it's not defined as for your Shabbos table when Shabbos starts. Right? As long as we just go by the intrinsic properties of the thing. That's one question. But then there's another thing I could say that Rabbi Yehuda demands that things have to be muchan when Shabbos starts. And if they're not muchan when Shabbos starts, then they're muksa for the whole Shabbos. So we don't hold by his definition of what is muchan. We don't agree with him that making them l'schora is going to make them an eina muchan. But the fact that there's an issur to move this is vadai not the muchan. So now, in terms of that idea, we agree with Rabbi Yehuda that it can't become muchan in the middle of Shabbos. It has to be from the beginning, from the whole Bein HaShmashos, it was ready. You understand? So it's not a problem to say that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, but we don't agree with the min mimine muktza. We don't call things muktza intrinsically. But we hold that still the ner is going to be usher on Shabbos. Why? Because that's not dependent on what we call the thing. That's the reality. When Shabbos started, it was usher betiltel. And we hold things have to be, usable objects have to be usable, have to have their usability the entire Shabbos. Or at least when Shabbos starts. What I'm saying is, what I'm saying when the Rambam is talking about min mimine amuktzah, he's talking about as compared to Isser. Okay? Meaning to say, not a question of Bein HaShemashos. No, you have to differentiate in your mind two things. This is important, to differentiate in your mind between these two things. You have to differentiate in your mind the nature of the object in its present state, right? And then there's a secondary question of, if that state happens to be during Bein HaShemashos, what happens for the rest of Shabbos? Two separate questions, okay? So in other words, when the Rambam says, he doesn't hold from a min muktzah, he doesn't call something muktzah, he means in any particular, because of a particular state, nothing is muktzah. The only thing he has is Isser. He says, look at the nair. While the nair is burning, that's called Isser. Right, that's its state. He has nothing that's like that you would just call muktzah because of its state. Like peiros l'schora. You don't say, well, since they are omedes l'schora, they are intrinsically not muchan. Notice he doesn't hold that there's an eino muchan from the shame of the thing. Right? And we agree with him by that. But now there's a secondary question. What if something was intrinsically not muchan when Shabbos started and then became muchan later? That's a separate question. That's a separate question. You have to differentiate between the question of the usability of the object itself, right? That's going to be a shame. So if you hold in the shame muktzah, then you're saying once you define a thing as l'schora, then we consider it not usable, right? Or do you say, no, we don't hold from those kinds of things. We only look at the reality of its usability. And if it's an apple, it's an apple. Aye, but if it's a burning lamp, then everyone agrees it's not usable. That's one. You have to identify the nature of the thing, and then you have a secondary question. What if the thing existed this way, Bein HaShemashos? Does that permanently affect it for the whole Shabbos?
So, Migu Diskatzai is referring to the state of usage.
That's right. Migu Diskatzai means even though later it now is Muchan, but it's too late. Because since Shabbos started and it wasn't, now it's too late. So it's possible to say that we agree with Rabbi Shimon by not labeling things as intrinsically not muchan, but we agree with Rabbi Yehuda that even if things are muchan now, they had to be muchan during Bein HaShemashos as well. And if something is not muchan Bein HaShemashos, that's a separate din. The Bein HaShemashos projects forward onto the whole Shabbos. Whatever it was during Bein HaShemashos, that's what it is for the whole Shabbos. That's a separate question.
But we're saying in terms of its actual usage, not in terms of our definition of it, right? Of being muktzah.
So we don't hold from a shame muktzah, he's saying.
Right.
So therefore, the only thing that's going to matter is its actuality. Right? And then since we hold migu diskatzoi, if it was actually not usable Bein HaShemashos, then we get a muktzah out of it. Then we get a muktzah out of it. So if you'd want to put it together in one unified concept, you'd say like this. What do we hold the Gabi Shabbos? We hold that the thing has to be muchan from Bein HaShemashos. But we only look at the actuality of its muchan, not at any shame that you give it. Right? Now Rabbi Shimon himself would say nothing matters except for whether on Shabbos it's whether it existed before Shabbos and it's muchan now. That's the only thing that matters. And Rabbi Yehuda would say we have to have things defined going into Shabbos. We take a middle ground. We say we don't need things to be defined going in, but we need them to have one shame for the entire Shabbos. You understand? So we can split it. We can split it. Maybe this wasn't the best way to start. But I think you got to differentiate. It's confusing when you're starting on Muktzah. The difference between the migu diskatzoi and the shame of the you have to differentiate those concepts. You have to differentiate those concepts. Of course they all go back to one underlying inyan of being muchan, but they're different. They're different elements. One is mitzad the cheftza itself, and one is in terms of this Shabbos. Do I say if Banish Masha started, then for this Shabbos it's not muchan, right? Okay. All right. So let's try to think about for tomorrow the question of whether you would hold. So it's clear. It's clear. Rabbi Yehuda seems pretty good. He holds things really have to have an intrinsic have to have a shame. And Rabbi Shimon doesn't care about anything like that. Question is, what's the machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, with regards to Mius? Right?
Rabbi Shimon or
Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda with regard to Mius? Because Rabbi Meir is really on the side of Rabbi Yehuda. Because he holds he holds from the Migu Diskatsoi.
He's saying there can exist a shame Muksa, but for some reason he just leaves out Muksa Machos Mius, whereas Rabbi Shimon would
That's right.
Out.
That's right.
No Muksa.
That's right. He holds from the Mius, right? He holds. Well, that's an interesting question. The question is, what is Mius? Is Mius a shame? What is Mius? What is Mius? What is Mius really?
Like a shame.
See, but it's more than a shame. It's a reality. It really is not fit. It's not really fit. So, what is it fit for? Well, the ones who say that you can use a kli that's Mos. Nobody is contemplating using it as a cereal bowl. Nobody would ever do something like that. But they say you can at least use it to cover something. Right?
Can you use it to light?
No, not on Shabbos. All right, so let's see if we can think about the machlokas by Meir and the machlokas by Mius.
You said something about
So they're like at opposite ends. Right?
What about the
The who?
The
Yeah, we'll have to get to that. That's within Rabbi Shimon. Let's start with Mias first, and then we'll go to that.